it live, guys. Facebook, Dave, YouTube, the whole world. We're recording it. Facebook and YouTube, Pete. We are absolutely live, so make sure you watch what you say. Oh, you can't hear me?
There he is.
I can't hear Dave. Can everybody else?
There he is. What's up, guys?
Yeah, he's
alive, Dad. Anderson Hutchison, oh. Sarah McDonald, Taylor White, Chris Mixon, John Radford. How's everyone doing?
Pretty good. Chilling.
Pete White. I think he can hear me. Maybe not. Oh, man. We've been recording for 2 hours already trying to make it work. But how's everyone doing, guys? How's everyone doing? This corona madness,
John,
the whole pandemic's been hard on everyone, especially Jim.
Hey, go tell Dad to come on.
I'm going to take the heat off of it. But how are you guys doing with the whole gym and everything with the corona pandemic? What's up with Anderson and Sarah?
Oh, there you go.
All right. Well, I still been training. I'm doing okay. I'm doing good. I'm still working and I'm still training.
Not really training at all.
How about you?
Just because I work at the hospital. So I don't really want to bring in all that I'm exposed to the gym. But
right.
I'll be back Monday.
Well, that's very cool. And first of all, Sarah, thank you so much for being at the hospitals and doing everything that you're doing. Really appreciate it. That's awesome. Has that been a hard choice to say, hey, I'm going this route, so it is going to be hard for me to train and be at the gym?
Oh, most definitely. Because, I mean, Anderson goes every day, and I've just been doing my own stuff at home. So it's really hard. And then, you know, coming off of the fight and having to sit home and dwell on everything and not be able to train is pretty rough.
Right.
But it's okay. I talked to Pete, and I'll be back on Monday.
Very cool. Well, hopefully we can't wait for everyone to get back going. John Radford, Chris Mixon, you guys are in an undisclosed place we've never seen before. We don't know where you're at. Looks like you're getting in some work. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. We're doing good. We're, you know, we're just trying to stay busy. No,
under the radar.
Chris, I'm happy you said that. It feels like that's where Chris Mixon lives, in especially the MMA community, especially Florida MMA community, underneath the radar. Is that somewhere you like to be? Or sooner or later, you have like, no, I'm Chris Mixon. I'm one of the best 170s on this planet. How do you like that? You like that under the radar? Or you, would you want sooner or later some credit?
I mean, when I'm good enough, they'll notice, yeah? So I'd rather show it, not say it, you know?
Okay. No, very well said. Very well said. Up in the top right, Taylor White, Pete White. How are you guys doing?
We're here. Ready to get back into the swing of things. I'm tired of sitting around.
Right. The whole world is. The whole world is. Taylor, I saw that you've been doing a lot of running. You guys been doing like a marathon kind of thing. How did that come about? And is that just doing something to stay in shape?
Yeah, when this whole thing started with the virus, I kind of just used that opportunity to take a little break. You know, I've been doing this for my entire life. So I took a little break, but I've been running every day for the past, like, 3 weeks to get back in shape. And I started challenging myself. The app I actually run on has, like, challenges every month. And this month is to run 100K. So I'm going to do that and then start back in the gym on Monday and go right into a camp and get ready.
Awesome. Very cool. That's kind of the first question, mainly for Sarah, Chris, and Taylor. It's been a break. It's been 5-6 weeks. As soon as this is over, do you guys want to hit the ground running? You want something right away, or you don't mind taking a 2-month camp and then getting something in August or July?
No, I want to fight right away.
Yeah.
Have like 4-6 week camp. And then.
Yeah. I told you my goal for my fight this year, so I kind of got to jump on it.
Okay. How about you, Chris?
Yeah, no, I'll just fight whenever, you know, if I show up.
Show up. And
he's a man of few words. I'm sorry, guys.
The next Conor McGregor right there, Christopher Mixon.
For sure.
To the coaches, John. John, Ando, and Pete, how has it been not having the gym and being with all the students and everyone there in the gym day in and day out? Are you guys missing a piece?
I think I needed a break for a minute to catch my breath.
Okay.
I didn't even know it. You know what I mean? Because I've just been doing this routine for like 10 years. And it's like, okay, it was nice to take a little break. I'm having this really horrible issue with my shoulder. And as soon as they can get the appointment scheduled for me, I'm just going to get this shoulder done. It's going to lay me up for a while. But I just need to get back to where I was before so I can hold pads and do stuff. Because I'm not liking this whole being injured thing and not being able to actually do stuff hands-on. But, you know, as for the rest of them, I told all of these kids, every one of them, I says, just start training and get ready now, because as soon as these fights are now starting to open up, the professional fights and the amateur fights, so get ready. And as soon as you're within a few weeks of being ready, I'll book something right away. So stay busy, you know.
Yeah, I've just been trying.
How you doing? Anderson,
I'm sorry, you guys are breaking off a little bit. What was the question?
Just how are you doing with coaching and kind of being out of the gym and out rolling with a lot of the guys for the last weeks, month, and looks like we lost them a little bit. Don, take it away.
I'm just trying to stay busy, like you said, you know. Been doing a little bit here and there. We're in an undisclosed area right now, as you said. You know, trying to get some work in, but just trying to stay as, you know, consistent as possible right now. Other than that, you know, would love for shit to get back to normal. You know, I'm not gonna lie about that. I missed all the family in the gym, miss all the people in here getting to work with everybody, but we're still just trying to be ready, trying to, like Coach said, you know, get ready, stay ready, however we can do it, and be ready to rock and roll when it's time to go. I've been blessed to where, you know, my job is as a teacher, I've been able to still work and make money. So I've been able to, you know, like I said, you know, thank you for that as far as that goes. But I've just been trying to keep as many people busy as I can and just try to get through this the best way as possible.
Very cool, man. Very cool. That's how we are doing. How are you guys doing? Anderson, Sarah, you guys can hear us better? We tried with them. Come on, Ando, Sarah. I knocked them out. I took the left jab. I'm swinging. With us being in Florida, I think we have a huge advantage. Looks like there's some amateur shows popping off in the next couple of weeks. The UFC's coming the next 2 weeks in Jacksonville. Titan FC at the end of the month. How do you guys feel like being here in a home state of Florida?
I'm happy that Florida stepping up and taking care of us, and at the moment taking care of the rest of the world as far as putting on MMA fights and stuff like that. I'm surprised boxing hasn't fallen into suit yet. It should have, you know, the pro boxing and stuff. I got an email from USA Boxing last night that they're looking at a minimum of another 8 weeks before they do any amateur boxing, and then they'll make a decision then. But they're already canceling the major tournaments that are in September, October, November already for the year. So USA Boxing is not looking very good at all right now, which is really disappointing because they have a lot of young kids that are ready to go, like Malik Yan and Kira Martinez and Taylor and Chris and these guys that can get some fights in, you know. But it's it's frustrating, especially when I just paid all my dues to USA Boxing and spent a few million dollars.
Right. Pete and John, why do you think that is? Why do you think that boxing is 2 months behind MMA? You would think even too, they have gloves that's even a less of a touch in and there's no grabbing. You think that's even a little bit less touch?
That's actually a question I wanted to let Pete answer because I'm really not sure. He would know way more about that than I would. That's a great question.
Well, because USA Boxing is a national organization. So it's not like it's just a local show like Combat Night or Island Fights that are just taking that risk and they're going through the motions with the Florida State Boxing Commission. USA Boxing shows, even if it's in Port Orange or wherever, it's all under the umbrella of USA Boxing. That's why there's no USA Taekwondo, wrestling or any of that stuff going on. It won't be either, which is horrible, but it is what it is, man. It's a crazy time we're living in. For sure.
It is. It really is. I don't know if you guys heard or saw. News broke this morning. Chase Sherman, Island Fights veteran, big friend of Dean Toole, just got signed to the UFC, is fighting literally a week from now. Seems like everyone here has major, major ties to Island Fights and to Dean Toole. Pete, you can tell me about that organization for years. Taylor main evented there, multiple fights. Chris has almost fought at Island Fights around 8 or 9 times. Anderson had major fights there. Sarah's fought there. How cool is it to have a great organization like Island Fights and Dean Toole that's literally the roadmap to the UFC?
I couldn't be prouder of Chase Sherman because I really love that kid, and he's worked his ass off to get there, and he deserves to be there, I think, personally. He's an animal. That kid's a tough kid. He's no joke. So I'm glad to see that he got back in. Making it there is one thing. Staying there is another thing. But getting re-signed back into the UFC, that's like next to near impossible with the amount of people that are trying to get
right.
So hats off to him. Dean Toole, we already know. That's my brother. That's my guy, man. Me and him are fighting or not fighting. That's like he's like my own brother. So, you know, I got mad love for him, and I always do whatever I can to help. But yeah, Island Fights is the spot to go. You want to go to the show? That's the place to be.
Yeah, that's like
Sarah,
you said.
Do you guys hear us better?
A little bit better.
I'm sorry, Dave. I apologize.
Well, it's usually just you and I, so.
No, but
and, I don't know if you guys know. Just real quick, John. I don't know if you guys know yet. John on Tuesday has his very own podcast coming out.
I didn't get the
John is taking the reins
here.
Oh, Anderson. John, do you? You can, God, you talk about Island Fights now. Your turn.
It's my turn. Okay. I always disagree with Coach. He's so right about how it's the roadmap to the UFC for sure in the South and in around this area. He was I was just gonna piggyback off of that. I was just saying, Coach is absolutely right. He said it the other day, and he's so right. It's the roadmap for us to get there. So that's all I was trying to get out. I'm sorry.
All good. Like Taylor, Sarah, and Chris, is it important to you guys that you guys can fight under organization as an amateur and same organization as a pro? Is that important to you guys?
I mean, I think it's awesome. I think it's cool that, you know, you stay with one organization, amateur and pro, that literally walks you right into the UFC. You know, I was always taught loyalty, so I think it's pretty dope. You know, to stay loyal to someone who's going to create your future for you and help you with your future. So I really appreciate Dean and Island Fights, and I'm excited to get back in the cage with them. So,
how about you, Chris?
I mean, honestly, it don't really matter too much for me. I'd rather just kind of fight for anybody, you know, depending on availability, because, you know, I've had the unfortunate, you know, history of injuries and whatnot or what have you, or just things happening on fight week, or, you know, something going on with opponents and like that. So really, it's a guy like me can't be too picky.
Gotcha. And Sarah?
There you go.
We're trying.
I don't know.
We're trying with them. We're trying. What I was going to talk about next is with UFC 249 and then the two shows after that, can you pick out a couple of fights that you guys are super interested in all next week, all in Jacksonville, Florida? Is there something that you guys are really interested in the next 10 days for the UFC?
Yeah, specifically. Yeah, okay. Who's going? Who's
oh, no,
going?
You go, you go, you go.
All right. Specifically, I'm into the Cejudo versus Dominic Cruz. That's something that I'm a big Henry Cejudo fan. I really like how he's kind of changed his style from just being an Olympic wrestler and living on that. And then he gained some boxing technique, and now he's got that cool kind of karate blitz style to complement his wrestling. So that's one thing I'm really interested in. Dominic Cruz is just, you know, a really fun guy to watch. He's really interesting and creative in there.
Right.
So I kind of want to see how they match up. That's the big one I'm looking for.
John?
Okay.
How about you, Taylor? What are you looking into?
I agree with Chris. I'm excited to see Henry get Dominic. I think that's going to be a really good fight. I would have to go with Henry on that fight, too. Okay.
Really?
I'd rather see Cruz win, to be honest with you. I can't stand Cerruto. I used to like him, but now he's changed, and now he acts like an ass, but that doesn't mean nothing. The kid's talented, so it's going to be one
right.
hell of a fight, that's for sure.
Of course, to see
that's fun. Oh.
Fight. That'll be a good fight. Excited for him.
I'm more excited to watch my buddy fight coming up on the 13th. My boy Glover Teixeira getting ready to go in there against Anthony Johnson. And,
yes.
Or not Anthony Johnson.
Anthony Smith.
Anthony Smith. And everybody's looking past Glover saying, oh, he doesn't stand a chance with Glover doesn't stand a chance with Anthony and everything. And, you know, that's all good. You look at Glover's track record and look at the people that he's fought and how many wins and how many losses he has. My boy, he's 40 years old and he's an OG and he's still got what it takes to be in there. And he doesn't plan on retiring anytime soon.
Yeah, that's definitely not. You definitely can't sleep on Glover. Glover's going to – I bet – I'll take Glover in that matchup for sure because I like Coach said, I think, you know, Anthony might be sleeping on him a little bit, but, you know, Glover beat the young lion last time. His ground game is incredible, and he hits like a truck, like a semi-truck at 100 miles an hour. I'm all on Coach's side with this. I got Glover in this one for sure.
Yeah, I love that matchup. It's all three main events, Glover and Smith, Walt Harris and Overeem. I love that fight. And then, of course, you got Tony and you got Justin Gaethje, which is just incredible. Like us who are so far in it, it's awesome. It's just to sit down and not – I don't want to talk to anyone. I don't want to do anything. I just want to, like, watch hopefully 25 minutes of violence.
This card coming up here this weekend is insane. There's not, like, one shitty fight on that whole card.
The deepest card in UFC history.
I'm telling you, it's like from even the prelims and stuff and the early prelims. It's crazy.
Isn't Rosa Mitchell Hall on it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uriah Hall versus Jacare. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's a bad fight. That's a fun fight.
Yeah. And we always know, like, seems like Hall, me and John talked about it, like, Hall shows up every 2 years. And he can literally fight Israel Adesanya that night in those 2 years and win, but you never know if he's going to show up or not.
Exactly.
Yeah, I like Uriah.
That's good too. How about now? What do you guys think?
I'm really disappointed that Ferguson's fighting Gaethje. As much as that's a good fight and everything, Gaethje's not beating Ferguson. First of all, second of all, the Russian should have got his ass on a plane and got over here. I'm sure they would have sent a single. You know, passenger jet over there, go pick him up and bring him to the fight. But once again, ducking Tony Ferguson.
Agreed. I think Tony's going to beat Justin.
I have Justin, just so everybody knows this. I'll take a dollar on Justin this whole time. Anybody want a dollar bet? I got a dollar on Justin.
I'll give you $3 for Tony.
Okay, so I'll bet a dollar. You're going to give me three if I win?
No. Yeah, I'll give you three
anyway.
I'll give you three.
Okay, let's go. Deal.
I also got Justin
Gaethje. Making moves here on the fight bananas. Oh, I got Justin Gaethje too. We talked about it.
I think Claudia's fighting.
Yeah, Claudia's fighting Angela Hill.
I think Claudia's in one. Wasn't Claudia supposed to fight somebody else? Who was it?
It was around like 3 weeks ago. Remember they missed weight by like 10 pounds?
Oh,
it was a bad weight cut.
Yeah, Alexa.
Grasso. She's tough as hell.
Yep.
I think it's a good move for her to go 25, though. She's a really good boxer. I actually like watching her.
Do you think she has a chance against Shevchenko, Taylor?
What'd you say?
Do you think she has a chance against Shevchenko?
Who? Alexia? No. No.
No. Okay.
No, definitely not. I think she's going to keep the belt for a really long time, probably until she retires.
I think so too.
Here's a, underrated fight on that card: Jeremy Stephens versus Calvin Kattar. That fight is going to be fire.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Yeah, real good.
Then you got Greg Hardy fighting again. I'm glad to see Greg getting back at it because I love that.
Who's he fighting?
He's fighting Castro. Castro.
Oh, okay, okay.
That'll be another good one. There's some good fights, man. This is going to be a hell of a card, especially when there's no other sports on television. The pay-per-view numbers are going to be through the roof.
Now, I do want to say I'm sorry, Dave. I think it should be free. I'm a little upset it's pay-per-view. I think it should be free.
I'm broke.
Yeah.
Yeah, for real. Oh, wow. Carla versus Watterson. That's a good fight. I think Carla's going to win.
Can you guys hear us, Ando, Sarah?
It's a little bit better.
Yeah,
now.
We went outside.
It's nice and clear now, too. Carla Esparza versus Michelle Watterson. That's fire.
Yeah. I think Watterson wins it.
Olenek versus.
We're talking about UFC 249, Don. Ando. Yeah.
Pettis and I'm Cerrone excited for again. That. That's a badass card.
Pettis and Cerrone are fighting?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This card
Cerrone
is crazy.
Cerrone was on a thing saying he's going to go in, win this fight, and then ask for somebody the next week. He's trying to get three fights in like a week's time or 2 weeks' time or whatever it is. And he's trying to hit every card of there. He's going to say he's going to bring his trailer, stay in Jacksonville, and he wants to fight on every card.
Yeah, they're talking about a fourth show now for UFC.
Sounds like Cerrone.
I don't think it's going to happen, bro.
So then you got Ryan Spann versus Sam Alvey, which I like both of them. I know both of them very well. And Sam Alvey, I'd like to give it to him on that.
Right. Is that at, what weight is that at?
That's at light heavy.
Light heavyweight.
Yep. Then you got Bryce Mitchell, who's 12-0, versus Charles Rosa, who's like 12-4 or something like that.
Why would you have that opinion?
And Bryce Mitchell is just – that kid is just phenomenal.
Did they get him his camo shorts yet?
I don't know.
No.
And then Vincent Luque versus Nico Price. That's like a rematch, isn't it?
It is.
That's a good one. This it card is crazy.
Is that a 365 versus ATT?
What?
Is that like old Black Zillions versus ATT again?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yep.
That's good. That's a hell of a card.
It's so funny that how much they cross train too.
Yeah,
like a lot of those guys go back and forth. Real quick, we'll go back into UFC's. Sarah and Anderson, if you can hear us, one thing that we were talking about was fighting on island fights and how both of you guys fought as a pro, Ando, and Sarah, you fought as an amateur, and what did it mean to you guys to fight for island fights? We tried.
Not.
We tried. One fight that you guys haven't said through the whole week that I love is on the 13th. Is that Walt Harrison Overeem? Like, I love that fight. To me, it's the old school, a little bit of the new school. Walt Harrison's first fight since the tragedy and all that. What do you guys think about that fight?
He's another great kid, Walt. I love seeing him. I think he's really worked his game and put a lot into it. So I think he's going to give Overeem big problems.
I feel like you're like Overeem's now like Uriah Hall in a sense. Sometimes some fights he shows up and he looks like not really the old Overeem, but he looks like a really good Overeem still, and he's still got that potential. And then some fights he just lays back. It's a little bit different, and you know, it can be kind of like. I want to say like pressured into the making mistakes and things like that. So it's interesting. If Walt Harris comes out prepared, he could definitely take on Overeem. But if the old Overeem shows up, the man's a legend. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
He like he'll get in there and start touching people up, and then he'll let the guard down. He's too chinny now to do that kind of stuff, especially at heavyweight.
Right, especially against Walt Harris. Yeah,
just heavyweight.
And Walt Harris is bringing big shots.
That last guy, for Rosenstruck, he was touching him up the whole fight, and he gets cleaned in like the last round.
Yeah, it was like 5-6 seconds left.
Right. Wow. Guys, man, it's been awesome. Always love talking to everyone. You know that. Two little things. One, on Tuesday, what I was kind of saying, our buddy, our family member right there, Don Rafford, is actually creating his own podcast underneath this amazing banner right here, Fight Bananas. called One More Round, an all boxing podcast. So you got the professor just laying tracks.
Duh.
All right.
First guest is going to be you, Mr. Living Legend over there, Pete White. You're going to be my first guest, so we got to get that scheduled.
Listen, I'll send you the bill.
Nice. The check is in the mail.
Yeah.
Last question, kind of for the whole gym. We'll go Pete, Taylor, John, and then Chris. MMA and boxing is the most individual sport there is, in a cage, in a ring, one-on-one, male versus male, female versus female. But what kind of, when the momentum of the gym, I felt like last year, especially at the gym here at Pete White's, like you guys had such a great momentum. Like everyone was grinding, everyone was working, everyone was laughing and smiling and just getting better and elevating and elevating. Do you guys feel that momentum, good or bad sometimes, in the gym that can really elevate people or can even almost take down people? Do you guys feel the momentum?
Yeah, when it dies out, when you go into the gym and it's packed and everybody's sweating and working and putting in that time, that just motivates you to want to keep going. Then it's like it could be there for hours and hours. Just keep going, you know. And then when you walk in and sometimes there's not, you know, there's only a few people in the gym and it's slow and it's raining out and everybody's kind of just moping around and everything. It's like, all right, you know what? We'll come back again tomorrow and try it again. You know, even though you try to get stuff done and get things, you know, everybody get a workout in, but it's hard. I'm having a struggle right now, like I said, with my shoulder and not being able to do too much anymore. So I'm struggling in my own head, feeling like I'm not being able to get anything accomplished, or I feel like I'm a third wheel or something, you know what I mean? So it's kind of making me struggle. So I need some, I need to get this shoulder fixed so I can find my momentum again.
Right. How about you, Taylor?
Going off what he said, like, it is definitely, when you see a lot of people grinding and training really hard, it's extremely motivating. Like, you see, like, John and Chris doing mitts together, and you're like, all right, let me get in on that, you know. Or when me and Anderson are rolling, you know, and him and Chris go, like, it is extremely motivating to have people around. And I think there's a solid, like, handful of us that kind of motivate ourselves to go every day. Like, you have John and Chris, me and Dad, Andy and Sarah. You know, you have that strong team, and, you know, we all, like, care about each other and love each other and want to see each other. So it's extremely motivating, but it's also important to be able to motivate yourself to get up and do it. And then, you know, people will see you going out and hitting the bag for an hour, and they're like, wow, I need to step my game up. So it's extremely motivating, and I'm so excited to get back into the gym and start training again.
Yeah, I think the most important. I think the most important about the whole thing is that you know, we have a core. We have a nice core. You know, you build a core, and as long as the core stays strong, you know, you can expand from there. As long as you can rely on your core, you can be motivated from it, and you can expand from there. I really think that's the biggest basis. And here at Pete White, we built a really good core. You know, the three coaches are you know, the fighters that are continuously competing. The young ones see them, and the Hungry Lions coming up, and the success we have. That builds the momentum. And I think one thing that we do really well here as a team and as a gym is, even if we stumble in a fight or two, we never go on what I would call a losing streak as a team. We never go on like places where we're just losing fights all the time or something like that, or we're 1-9 or, you know, 1-10 or something like that. We're able to always break it down, come back, humble ourselves, and get back to the hard work that we always look at. Do you know what I'm saying? And that has to do with the core that's built. And that was built from the beginning when I came here with Pete, and we had a core with Andy and all that. And then Taylor came, and now Chris here. And Dylan Radford, you know, our little scrappy dude, man, he's part of the core as well as one of the coaches. And once you get that core going, you're able to kind of sit back and break it down and say, hey, it's all right. One little roadblock ain't nothing, but we're going to get back on the horse and get it better. And it really helps out that way. I think we do a really good job of being able to do that. And that's always motivating. That's always fun to do. And it's just a pleasure.
Chris?
Yeah. So a lot of things like the gym momentum, you know, where there's like a string of things and things going really well for everybody around you. And like Taylor said, when you're seeing people train around you, and you know, it motivates you sometimes. But also, you got to be more introspective sometimes, where you realize, you know, like, okay, maybe say Taylor's getting mitts and she's working on her stuff, but, and I'll be like, oh man, I really want to get some mitts after that. But you just got to think about, you know, is that really what needs to happen right now? You know, especially in times where everyone's fighting a lot and everyone's super active, they're trying to be super active, so everyone's training and the gym's packed. But it's also equally as important when that momentum dies down to be able to kind of break that down and go into isolation and really just, you know, self-analyze and work on the things that you really need to work on. Because right now, you know, there's no, like you said, these past few weeks, there's been no fights. Most people aren't really training. And that's really where you kind of get down to brass tacks and see, like, what am I really made of? You know, am I getting up and am I running? You know, am I still training on my own? Am I going to the house? Am I still stretching? You know, trying my kicks, all that kind of stuff. Because regardless if there's people or not, and if there's momentum in the gym or not, there's always room to improve. And you can take a lesson from anything. You know?
Right.
You can see other people doing things and you want to, you know, add that to your game. Or you see people doing things that you don't like and you actively avoid that. You know what I mean? But, yeah, the momentum
could be
really uplifting. But it's important for me at least to not get kind of lost in that kind of sauce, you know, where – you know, because sometimes, you know, it does go the other way where, you know, you have teammates that leave on the cart, but you got to shut that out and just, you know, crack on and do your business.
Wow, that's awesome. Guys, any last words? Throw out definitely some sponsors, you know, Fusion CBD products. I know Taylor White getting a little bit of that. Don wearing that Warhammer Fightwear shirt. But Pete White, any sponsors, any plugs you want to get to? Let's hit him.
Fight Bananas, always. Island Fights. Port Orange Pal Boxing. I mean, I have so many people that help out. You know, you got Ann Still Nutrition. You got guys that just, you know, Donnie Walsh over there at Smyrna Beach Spine, who takes care of all of us, puts us all back together all the time, and always helping us out one way or another. You know, there's just so many people that we can't turn it back on. But, the real people that we need to shout out to is all of the people that are our nurses and first responders and everybody else that's putting their life on the line. So
right.
They're the real heroes right now.
Very cool. Man, appreciate you guys. And, Sarah, can you hear us at all? I'm gonna call you Edno. John, Tuesday, one more round boxing. John Radford podcast dropping. Chris Mixon, thank you. Taylor White, thank you. Pete, Endo, Sarah, thank you. We'll talk very soon. I'll call you guys.
Bye. You're a jerk face, John.
Peace.